Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
They came out with this movie called Bucket List. Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah.
8 years ago? Was it 15 years ago that Y2K was going on? It's like, what happened? But anyway, this movie, Bucket List, it was a cute little movie, and it was based on this idea that, you know, you want to, you know, grab for all the gusto you can in life before you kick the bucket. And the rationale was this, that if you really wanted to do something in this life, you ought to do it before you die. And this really does make sense when you consider a life without God, without heaven, without eternity. A life that doesn't recognize that there's something beyond, an afterlife, something that extends beyond our time here on this earth. When you consider a mindset that doesn't believe or recognize that there's a resurrection from the dead and no continuation of life beyond what we live here on this planet. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, who believes the scriptures and believes in biblical Christianity and believes that the Lord told us that there is an afterlife, and he told us many things about it, and we know that our life to come is literally filled with adventures that are far beyond what we could ever imagine. I'm not saying it's wrong to want to do things and enjoy things and go to places and enjoy experiences on this earth, and it's not even wrong to write a list about those things you want to do. But what's wrong is to think that what we have here, what this life here has to offer us, is our only or even our best that we have to look forward to. That would be wrong. That thinking literally denies the resurrection. It denies the promises of God, and it denies eternity. Wow. Some people really think that heaven's going to be boring and monotonous. Therefore, they really don't look forward to heaven. They're really trying to grab for everything they can in this life, because it's so important to them, and they don't see that beyond this life, there's something that's so much better. But imagine, think of an eternity where you get to explore not just the earth, but the entire universe. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around that. Think of an eternity where adventure literally never ends. And for those of you that are into computer games and you like all those things, this eternity that God offers to us makes computer games boring in comparison. Boring in comparison. Can you imagine literally living this life of adventure where learning is a continuous thing, where we're continually discovering new horizons? Literally, you have endless time to enjoy all the good things of life with the people you love to be with. Wow. You can learn to play new instruments. Yeah. You get to read books. Think about it. You'll be reading books written about things that you don't even know existed yet. They'll be beyond our imagination. You're going to be enjoying sports. Have you seen those? I think get a kick out of this new sport. I don't even know what it's called. It's called Crazy is what it's called. They got this like hang glider wing, and they're flying down mountains on skis. Is there a name for that besides Crazy? Did somebody say it? Yeah, have you seen it? Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's out of sight. Now, Imagine being able to do things like that in a new body. We have no fear of death or harm. It'd be like, cool. I would love to skydive. But I'm not crazy enough to skydive. I would really like to hang glide. I've always wanted to do that. Ever since high school, when it first got popular, I had a friend that hang glided. He came in with crutches one time, practicing hang gliding. I thought, that probably wouldn't be good for me. And gyrocopter, that would just be the coolest thing, wouldn't it? Little gyrocopters. But I read the statistics on that. They're not so good. So I decided, no way. But can you imagine being able to do beyond that in a new body? Because we're told that we have a new heaven and a new earth that we're going to enjoy and explore for eternity with a new body that can never die. That means if we got a new heaven and a new earth, that means altogether new galaxies, new stars, wow, new planets to discover and a whole new universe to explore. Wow. Not just through a telescope, but personally. No wonder the Bible tells us, if you then be risen with Christ, set your mind on the things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, not on the things of earth. Wow. Wow. Father, help us, Lord, during this time, as we study your word, to set our minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Lord, help us be more heavenly minded. We're not heavenly minded enough. Lord, that we might see and evaluate and live in light of eternity. Lord, help us to gain a new perspective, ignite within our hearts a new passion for the life that you've called us to live forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we talked about some things. I can't review all of last week this week. We'll never get anywhere that way. As it is, I think I'm going to have to cut this message short. But it wasn't like we got shortchanged. If I didn't say anything at all right now, we'd be fine, because that communion focus was so awesome. Wow, talk about feeding us. So it's kind of like, you know what a quilt looks like. And this series is like every message is a little square on the quilt, but they're all interlocking. So if you didn't hear last week, by the way, the bad news is there's no CDs from last week. You have some? You hid some. How many do you have? Three. The bad news is there's only three CDs for last week. And there's more of you here that didn't hear the message than three. The good news is we don't need to make more, because it's already up on the website. So you can get on the blog spot. You can get a podcast. If you're not getting our podcast, you're really missing out on, I mean, what technology has to offer. Dave Packard is here. He'd be happy to connect you with podcasts, with iTunes, if you can't do that. But there's instructions on the blog site, and you can get to that through our website, so it's not that hard. But if you have problems, talk to Dave or talk to me, and we'd be happy to help you with that. But last week, we talked about the fact that there may be this glorious splendor that literally radiates from our soul and spirit when we're there in the presence of Christ. Because we talked about what happens when we die. And this week, I want to kind of start there and continue on. But we're told even more than that. Not only that there might be this glorious presence and splendor that literally radiates from our being when we get into the presence of God, but have you considered that the Bible literally says that that glorious splendor is right now living inside of you if you're a born-again child of God? So let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. as I'm doing this series, I'm realizing that we tend to read the scriptures, all of us, me included, and we run past things and don't really sit and ponder, what on earth is he talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he goes on in the next verse to call that light treasure. We talked about light, we talked about glory, we talked about treasure last week, didn't we? But we have, not we will have, we have right now this treasure, right now, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So it seems as if our human bodies, our fleshly bodies, these fallen bodies that are dying and decaying because of sin, they are literally hiding or cloaking the glorious light and splendor of God that even now resides within our spirit being, within us. So imagine if we could pull back and peel away our flesh for a minute. What would shine forth? How beautiful you and I would look if we could just pull that back. And that's what I believe we see when we're in the presence of God after death. Because the flesh, that body of flesh, is gone. It's pulled back. It's peeled away. And the glorious splendor, he describes it as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It literally shines forth from us. So this is probably what took place at the Mount of Transfiguration that we looked into last week a little bit more with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory. There's that word glory again. The riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. What's the riches of his glory among the mystery of the glory among the riches of the Gentile? What is it? He goes on to tell us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Same thing that he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians. That's the glory of God. It's Christ in us. Jesus Christ lives and abides within you and I, and there is glory that shines forth. Amen? We also discussed that when we die, we go immediately to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. So let's turn now to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. I want to look at some scriptures, just three, but they tell us a lot of things about what it's going to be like when a believer dies and goes to heaven. And I believe we're going to get just time enough in this message to answer the number one question that I had from last week's message, and that was, will there be time in heaven? So let's look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood, on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So this is talking about specifically what we kind of term as tribulation saints that are martyred during the 7-year tribulation, and their souls there are under the altar as the fifth seal of the scroll is broken. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, put it into place as we proceed on in the series. But from these three verses, we learn some things. And the first thing we learn is that we don't lose our individual identity in heaven. We talked a little bit about that last week. So the who you are here is the who you are there. These are the same people. These are the same souls. These beings, they lived on earth. They had an identity here on earth. They now have a continued identity there in heaven. And that leads us to the second thing we learned. There is a continuation of our life on earth with the life in heaven. It's together with it. It's not detached. You don't live one life here and another life there. It's the same you, and it's the same life. So make it good. Make it, do it well. Make it worthwhile for eternity. The life you live here. Don't think, well, when I get to heaven, I'll start that. When I do that, I'll get serious about God some other time. No, do it now. Do it now, because the life we live here continues on into heaven. It all is the same. You're the same you. Yeah, you're renewed. You're changed. You're better. You're a better renewed model, but it's still you. That individual that God made you to be. And it's so cool because it's the perfect you. It's not the imperfect. You know, what I get to know is the imperfect you. Won't it be nice when I get to introduce you to the perfect me? You'll like him a lot better, I'm telling you right now. We will love each other a lot more. But right now, it's the imperfect us. Yeah. And we're challenged in that. That's part of what the body of Christ is all about, is it challenges you and I, because we have to learn to love the imperfect us. Yeah. Can we learn to love the imperfect us? We should, because we're going to love and live for eternity with each other. For eternity. It'll be easier then. But you know what? He calls us to love each other now. The third thing is the lives we lived on earth and the things we did for Christ will be remembered in heaven. They're not going to be forgotten. In fact, I can't wait till I get to heaven and meet people that I have forgotten I ever even talked to, prayed with, led to Christ. I mean, it's going to be absolutely mind-boggling. I know right now, because you know I used to street witness and go up to Hollywood Boulevard and evangelize there on the streets. I pray with a lot of people who received Christ, and I'm sure many that I prayed with are not walking with Christ at all, and maybe we'll go to hell because they didn't follow through with that commitment. But there's going to be some that I prayed with, held hands with on the streets of Hollywood, and they accepted Christ, and they'll recognize that day they made a commitment to Christ, and they are in heaven because of that commitment that they made that very day. What a day of rejoicing that will be. So this Saturday, we go to that hotel in Costa Mesa. One of the things I'm really looking forward to, Rob, is there's 200 kids, and I'm sure some of them have heard the gospel before, but I'm willing to bet that some of them have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. They're going to get a Gideon Bible. They're going to learn about a Jesus Christ who loves them and died for them, and some of them are going to receive Christ for the very first time, and they're going to be in heaven for all eternity, and I get to see them. And I'll forget about them here on this earth. I won't remember what they look like. I won't remember their name. But we'll have perfect memory to remember those deeds that took place on the earth. Wow! They're going to be remembered in heaven. I like what Revelation 14:13 says. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, This is kind of scary. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That means it's not going to be good down on earth. But he goes on and says, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and I love what it ends with, and their works follow them. That means there's going to be some sort of like a cart that follows us with all the works that we've done for Christ. Some of us will have a big, you know, maybe a caravan of U-Haul trailers having to carry those works. Some of us, it'll be a little tiny kid's little wagon. I don't know. But your works will follow you. So it tells us that our works, the things we've done here on earth, they follow us. They're like there in heaven. They're awaiting us. And we're going to talk more about that when we get to the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ. Their works follow them. Wow. So there's a continuation. There's a remembering of all the things we've done for Christ. We may forget, but they'll remember. Or Christ remembers, and we will remember there. 4, we'll be able to express ourselves audibly in heaven. Notice they have a voice, and they express themselves audibly. It's not like telecommunication. We just think it, and they hear it, you know, and receive the signal. No, we have a voice. You'll get to sing in heaven. You'll have a unique voice. One of the banking websites I'm registered at, they wanted to do this new level of security, voice recognition. So I was on the phone, you know, doing my little voice recognition thing. So it's another level security because every one of us have a specific uniqueness to our voice. That's God-given. And you're going to still have that voice, that unique gift that God gave you audibly to be able to communicate in heaven. 5, we'll be aware of the events on earth while in heaven. This is interesting. So these souls under the altar, they're there in heaven and they're aware of what's going on earth. And they're aware, wait a minute, how long are you going to wait, God, till you avenge our death? Look what's going on. All hell's breaking loose. The enemy's winning, it looks like. They're going to know what's happening on earth. They know. They're aware of these events that are taking place on earth. Hebrews 12 talks about a great cloud of witnesses that is watching the events taking place on earth. So it also indicates, I'm going to step into the trouble zone here, but it indicates possibly that they are maybe praying for us on earth. It indicates. They're aware of it. They are petitioning to God regarding the events. That's kind of prayer. Are they maybe praying for us, interceding for us? We don't know. But I do want to say this, key point. Although it appears that those who have died may pray for us, we are never told to pray to anyone who has died. Okay. They may be interceding for us as we are interceding for one another, but we're never told to pray to any saints that have gone before us, anyone that's died before us. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator between God and man, and who is that? The man, Jesus Christ, right? So we're not to use another person who may be in heaven. Don't pray to your grandmother to help you or whatever. We only talk to God in the name of Jesus. He's our mediator. But it does indicate to us that they may be praying or interceding for us. We certainly know they're rooting for us. You know they're cheering. There's joy in heaven when one sinner gets saved. So there is rooting. There's cheering. There's stuff going on that makes the Super Bowl look like tame. So that's for sure. There's joy in heaven. 6, we find out we can ask questions in heaven. Isn't that interesting? We can ask questions and we'll be given answers in heaven. This is profound. So we're still going to have questions in heaven, and our questions are going to be answered because we'll have more complete knowledge. So in heaven, we're going to have questions. We're going to have answers to those questions, which will give us more complete knowledge than what we had on earth and what we have on earth. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Also now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And that leads us to number 7. We don't know everything in heaven. We don't know everything in heaven. God still has his little bag of mysteries that he isn't going to make us privy to right away. Yeah, there's still going to be learning in heaven. So these saints on the altar, they didn't know. They're asking God, how long is it going to be? He gives them kind of answer, wait a little while longer. It's going to be a little while longer. That's how long it's going to be. But he doesn't tell them exactly all the aspects of the plan. But they know there's a plan that he is going to avenge their death, but they don't know everything. So there's still going to be a continuation of learning. Why? Because we're still finite. We're not omniscient. He is infinite, and he's omniscient. 8, they are given white robes. Isn't that interesting? So that may be what? To clothe their soul and spirit that we talked about last week. Because they don't have a human body anymore. That was buried on the earth. So they're given white robes to wear. Isn't that fascinating? Number 9, I decided to make a question instead of a statement. What triggers the end of the 7-year tribulation period? Isn't that fascinating? Well, it appears from verse 11 that it's completed with the death of the very last tribulation martyr. It's like, when that happens, then I'm avenging your death. That means Jesus is coming back and annihilating his enemies. The beast, the false prophet, thrown in the lake of fire. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. But it doesn't happen. It's fulfilled only when that last martyr gives their life for Christ. Number 10, there is anticipation over future promises of God which will be fulfilled. So it's not like you're going to be in heaven and you're going to be like bored, sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, just waiting for time to continue to just endlessly pass by. No, there's going to be anticipation. There's going to be excitement. There's going to be longing for more of God's promises that we don't even know yet to be fulfilled in heaven. Wow, isn't that cool? So, they must wait a little longer. If they're going to wait a little longer, that requires time. That little longer is a little longer time. So, that brings us to the subject of time in heaven. So, time as we know it in minutes, hours, days, may not quite exist like we have it on earth in the present heaven. May not. I say that because Revelation 8, I gave you your reference in your notes there, Revelation 8:1. It says that there was silence in heaven for the space of what? A half hour. Do they have clocks in heaven? I don't know, but it's a half hour. That's 30 minutes. So, I don't know. But we do know that there will be time in the sense of a sequence of events because there are sequences of events. Did you know the book of Revelation, the word then, T-H-E-N, 63 times in the book of Revelation. Then this happened, then this, then this, then this, then this. So there is a sequencing of events. And that's what we're going to kind of look at a little bit in a big picture idea in the whole timeline as we proceed in the series. So past, present, and future will all be experienced in the present heaven. And I need to kind of clarify that. Understand what I just said. past, present, and future will be experienced in the present heaven, more or less heaven that your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord in Christ, that heaven right now that exists, there's a past, there's a present, and a future being experienced by those in heaven right now. But the big question we want to know is, what about the new heaven and the new earth? That's a different heaven. That's a new heaven. Is there time there? We don't know. Sorry about that. I'm not even going to begin to speculate on that one. You just don't know. So, verse 11 tells me something that is, to me, really profound. It tells me that God is sovereign, and He knows every martyr that will give their life for Him. Not only does He know them, He has determined the number, whatever that number is. It's a matter of His determination. Voice of the Martyrs has estimated that each year 150,000 people give their life for the cause of Christ. That's 400 every day. That's one person being martyred specifically for the cause of Christ every 3.5 minutes. That means about 10 Christians have given their life for Christ just in the short time that I've shared with you this morning. 30 in the time of our service of an hour and a half. Can you imagine? During the tribulation period, there will be many more die for Christ than what's happening currently today. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks to us about sparrows, little birds, and He says, you know, not one of them falls from the sky, but that your heavenly Father knows it. But He says something else that's very troubling to me, and He says, not one of them falls from the sky apart from your Father's will. That means not even a sparrow dies apart from His will. Wow. That means that every saint that gives their life for the cause of Christ, it's according to His sovereign will. And there's nothing you can do about that. I've always felt that if I was in that position of having to give my life for Christ, in my flesh, I'm a chicken. There's no way I could do it. It's only according to Him giving me the strength to do that. And I believe that He will give us that strength when we need that. And He does that, and He's faithful to do that for every brother and sister in Christ. But every man, every woman, every child who is giving their life currently, right now, and will give their life and has given their life for the cause of Christ, every one of them has a very unique and personal story. And you know what? God knows that unique and personal story. No one else may know it on earth, really know it, but He knows every bit of it. Every aspect of their story and their faithful witness for Christ. Is that profound? Wow. So I want to close today with the good news and the bad news. Debbie Hughes is looking at me like, oh boy, because I already told her. I told her I'm glad they didn't pass out tomatoes. Instead, they passed out bread and wine for the communion, not tomatoes. The good news is, next time, we're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about what the rapture is going to be like. I'm going to give you 10 reasons as I studied on this, you know, I did a lot of studying on the rapture when we did the Revelation series, but I started looking at what are the reasons for the rapture? There's 10 of them, not just one, so that we get out of here. That's one, but there's 10 of them. We're going to discover those. We're going to talk a little bit about the rapture versus the second coming. How are they different? How do they differ from one another? How do we understand the distinctions between the two? So that's what we're going to talk about next time. That's the good news. The bad news is that doesn't happen until the day right between Stephanie Blair's birthday and Suzette Rzeski's birthday. For those of you that don't know when their birthday is, that is January 3rd. That's our next Sunday that we continue this series because we got Christmas. We got Vision Sunday. Sorry about that. So just read your Bibles in the meantime. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with our lives. Lord, what a awesome thing to think, Lord. Not one sparrow, not one person gives their life apart from your will. So you have some sort of purpose here, Lord, that's bigger than we might know. Lord, you've explained to us this morning some heavenly things for us to ponder. Help us, Lord, to be able to, Lord, understand the hope of our calling and our glorious inheritance more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.